Listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for today's edition of Education Matters. Since I retired from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside's teacher education faculty over 15 years ago, much has happened, including adding to the certifications that are available. These new programs include special education, English as a second language, ESL, and bilingual programs, and collaborative certification programs with Racine Unified for alternative licensing in special education. Our guest today will tell us about these programs, and hopefully we will have time to discuss some current education issues. Welcome to all three of you this morning. It's really great to see what the immediate future looks like for preparing teachers at UW-Parkside. In order to not confuse our listeners, let's take each program separately, and then hopefully we'll have time to discuss a current issue or two, such as attracting young people to teaching today and supporting teachers once they are in the classroom. So we'll start out with special education with Professor Jody Syker. Welcome to Education Matters, Jody.
Thank you, Dwayne. So happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. Would you start out by telling our listeners about your background as an educator, including your graduate work?
Sure. I taught for 7 years, 5 in Milwaukee Public Schools and 2 in San Francisco Unified. And I got my undergrad from UW-Madison,
yes.
My master's from UW-Milwaukee, and then my PhD from Cal Berkeley.
Oh, okay. That's a great background. What was your PhD in then?
It was a joint doctorate with San Francisco State University as well.
Okay, so in special education?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. Then let's go on and talk about special education at UW-Parkside. By the way, this is particularly interesting to me as we had an LD program for only a few years early on at UW-Parkside. And after that, our students had to go elsewhere to add special ed certification. So what are the three areas of special ed in which you are authorized by DPI to certify?
So we are preparing teachers to have a cross-categorical license, and through this license they can teach children with many different disability labels, but they should focus on specific learning disability, emotional behavior disability, and intellectual disability. That said, they can teach children of all different disability labels.
So is that what you recommend then for students to do, is to do the cross-categorical, because then they would be qualified then to teach LDED, whatever?
So the cross-categorical license, it helps teachers work with children who are included for most of the day in the general ed classroom. So they would have more mild or moderate disabilities. And we have 2 lines for the teachers to choose from. They can choose a 1st through 8th grade license or a 6th through 12th grade license.
Okay, so then they can get their preference in terms of grade level, the level that they want to work at as well.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And they'll complete all of their certification through the program, and it's also combined with many classes overlap with the general ed, the classroom content area classes. So our students are collaborating with their colleagues the whole way through. And in our program, we also focus on co-teaching. So they're apprenticeship teaching and their placements every semester that they're in the program.
Okay, so let's expand on the co-teaching thing a little bit. So that means clinical programs, is that the term?
Yes. So, and please jump in if you would like.
Yes.
Dana, Dr. Ryan. So the co-teaching, it is collaboratively teaching. It's short for collaborative teaching. And we focus on that in our program. That's very unique to focus on co-teaching.
Or from the beginning, the idea being that they have real experience rather than just theory.
It's true. So this program, not only do we value co-teaching, but we value clinical placements. So they, every semester, even before they are in our program, they're in a classroom so that they're applying what they learn in their coursework right away in the classroom with actual children.
Wonderful. Okay, that's really great. So when are these programs available for student enrollment then?
Right now. This is the first semester of the special ed program.
Spring semester 2018?
Yes. We have people enrolled right now in my very first class, which is Introduction to Disability, which is also a community-based learning class. So we have very close ties with our community partners as well.
Okay, so Introduction to Disabilities?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that the course then that all teachers take in order to have a background in understanding of special education?
That's a very good question. It's open to all of anyone. It's all our teachers especially, but it's not required by them. They take another course in the fall that's Introduction to Special Education. But they all take that, all the kids.
That's required of all. Is that the course then that I taught then back in when I was at UW Parkside, then dealing with special education.
I also teach courses about culturally relevant pedagogy, but this one, it's called EDU 322, if you are looking at the course catalog, and it's specifically Introduction to Working with Children with Exceptional Needs.
Oh. And that's for all students, right? Not just special education.
All teacher candidates must take that class.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So let us move on then. Thank you, Professor Syker, then, for giving us that background on the special education offerings that are now available at UW Parkside, and I think that is really a step in the right direction. Let's move on to ESL and bilingual programs. And Professor Greg Kramer here. Welcome to Ed Matters, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Would you tell us, our listeners, about your background as an educator, including your graduate work?
Sure. Well, I went to undergraduate Dartmouth College, and then I got my bilingual certification from MTech in Milwaukee. I forgot to say that the other day. Did my master's and graduate and PhD work at UW-Milwaukee.
Okay.
So that was a PhD in urban education with a bilingual emphasis.
With a bilingual emphasis. Yep. Okay. We're going to move on here, and let's talk about ESL and bilingual programs, and let's differentiate. So what are ESL programs?
Exactly. So ESL standing for English as a Second Language, and anybody can get this. It's a minor, and it also leads to a certification in English as a Second Language. So you can be a regular classroom teacher, content area teacher, with an ESL certification, and in that way just be really well prepared to teach our very diverse students that come to us. Or you can work as an ESL teacher in your own classroom or as a push-in ESL teacher. So there's a lot of options for a person who has an ESL certification and an ESL license.
So tell us about Racine Unified or Kenosha Unified in terms of their use of ESL teachers.
Correct. So they have both types of ESL teachers. And so Kenosha, for example, I was speaking to the director of language programs there, and they have students from 62 different language backgrounds in Kenosha Unified. Correct. So that means that just about every teacher is going to have second language learners in their classroom. So there are some teachers that have a regular certification and also an ESL license, and so they are just better prepared to effectively teach those students in their classrooms. And, of course, there are many ESL teachers throughout the system as well.
Does an ESL teacher then sit in with a regular classroom teacher? If I didn't have ESL background, but do they sit in as specialists then if there are a lot of kids who are non-native speakers?
Yes, that's right. So that would be the push-in model, and that's a very common model, and it's an effective model too, where the ESL teacher will come into the regular educator, the regular education classroom, and work together with that teacher. And usually, you know, they'll co-teach as well, but a lot of times they will specifically serve the English language learners.
So both Racine Unified and Kenosha Unified use ESL teachers in that particular
yes.
way.
Mm-hmm. And then there's pullout as well. And these are this is usually the model for students that are very new to U.S. schools and they're very dominant in their primary language. If they have very little English, sometimes they will be pulled out into the ESL classroom to be sort of to catch up on the basics before they can go into that regular ed classroom.
So these ESL teachers, not only then do they go and help teachers in the regular classrooms, but then they have their own classroom dealing with ESL students.
Yes.
Okay, who have a limited background in English. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about then bilingual certification. That's another area that you have.
Yes, and so actually the coursework for the bilingual certification is very similar to the coursework for the ESL certification. And the distinction is that you need to be proficient in Spanish, especially in this area. So if you are fluent in Spanish, you can add on that bilingual certification very, very easily because you're taking the ESL coursework. So we like to talk about this one as a two-for-one special.
Right.
So if you are fluent in Spanish, you can get an ESL minor and certification and a bilingual certification for the same coursework. We just differentiate within the classes in terms of the assessments. And so basically, bilingual education, for example, there's a number of dual language, dual immersion schools
yes.
in the area. And what that is that students, the native language, the home language, in this case, Spanish around here, is used to deliver the content at the same time that students are learning English. So there's kind of a dual thing going here. One, fostering the content in the native language while teaching English. So by the time that students are in fifth grade, the curriculum in a dual immersion school will be 50% in English and 50% in Spanish, and these students will be literate in both of these languages.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. That's really great. I know I have a grandson in a suburb of Minneapolis who's in a Spanish immersion
mm-hmm.
school.
Right.
And so on. So.
And it's a great thing that they're really spreading. I mean, we have obviously EBSLA, which is Edward Bain School of Languages and Arts. That's a dual immersion in the area. In Racine, you have Wadowitz. So those are Spanish-English dual immersions, and they're open not just to Spanish speakers. I should add this, right, that half the population is native English speakers.
Ah.
And so they get to become bilingual, you know, by fifth grade. They will be literate in these two languages as well. So it's a really great thing for everybody.
Oh, that's really excellent. So when are these programs available, the ESL and the bilingual?
Official start date, this fall.
So this
starting fall semester, correct. So we're going to run EDU 225, which is basically foundations of ESL and bilingual education, and then another class focusing on the home culture of second language learners.
Okay, so and then does a candidate need a background in a foreign language? And, of course, Spanish then sounds like the language that it would be great to have if you do have that.
Correct, and so that's what you need to have those language skills to be a bilingual teacher. And though there's not a praxis or a standardized test to become a bilingual teacher, there is a language test. So you must demonstrate a proficiency in Spanish and English to be a bilingually certified teacher.
But not for ESL, correct?
Not for ESL. You do not need to know another language to be an ESL teacher. That's a great question, Dana.
Okay, and what about then the number of, say, ESL and bilingual teachers in a school district like Kenosha Unified or Racine Unified? Is there a predominant number in an area that has more demand?
There's a big shortage around southeastern Wisconsin, a big shortage.
Of both?
Yes, of both. And so one advantage to having an ESL certification, for example, in addition to the regular ed certification, is you're going to be very, very marketable as a teacher. You're going to be able to get a job.
Okay. So that and how many more credits might that take me?
Actually, if you're getting certified in elementary education, you have to take two of the classes anyway as part of the elementary ed program. So you would only have to take four more classes, which is 12 more credits. So that's it's 18 credits total, but if you're an L-Ed major, it would only be 12 credits extra.
Okay. And elementary education majors are required to have a minor in addition, so that would qualify as their minor as
well.
Yeah,
they could get an ESL minor, and so it would be really only 12 extra credits for classes, if I'm doing the math right. Yes.
So instead of having English or history as a minor, then they could have ESL as a minor, and then not only be qualified to teach elementary ed, but teach ESL
correct
classes.
Yes. So they could remain in the classroom as an elementary ed teacher or be an ESL teacher. So they have options and a lot of different ways they can go about it.
Okay. Thank you, Professor Kramer, then, for that background on ESL and bilingual certification. That is really a new dimension then as far as UW Parkside is concerned, too. And that's really wonderful.
Thanks. Okay. We're really excited about it.
Yes, that's great. That's wonderful. Okay. Then we're going to move on then to Professor Dana Ryan, who is Director of Professional Development. Welcome to Education Matters, Dana.
Thank you, Duane. I didn't realize how nerve-wracking it would be to be on the radio.
Oh, is that right? Well, at least nobody has to look at us, you know. They can just listen to us. So, okay, so Professor Ryan, tell our listeners about your background as an educator, including your graduate work.
Sure. I received my bachelor's in English education from Florida State University, which I was born and raised in Florida, and then moved to Washington, D.C. area to do my master's degree in linguistics at Georgetown University. And then made my way to Wisconsin and completed my Ph.D. in curriculum and instruction at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And my emphasis is in elementary literacy.
Okay, and then you went on to teach at?
Then I went on and became a faculty member at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Teaneck, New Jersey, and then recently returned to Wisconsin in the last couple of years to take on the Director of Professional Development role. So I've been all over the place.
Okay, and then were you an elementary ed teacher in your background?
I taught Title I reading in Alexandria, Virginia.
In Virginia?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have, how many years did you do that?
Not for very long, before I came to do my graduate work.
There you go. Okay, good. Now let's talk about the special programs to certify special ed teachers that is being developed with Racine Unified School District that you told me about the other day.
Yes, so this is a program that we're currently developing, and I'm working with Dr. Syker to develop this Special Education Alternative Licensure Program. And this is an innovative program that has been specifically requested by the Department of Public Instruction for Racine Unified to work on in collaboration with UW Parkside, because there is a great need in this area for special education teachers in addition to ESL and bilingual teachers. So this alternative route program will allow people who have been teaching in Racine Unified School District on an emergency special education license to take coursework at the same time as they are teaching in the classroom. And then after 2 years of this coursework, which will be assisted by RUSD, they will be able to become fully licensed in special education.
Okay, and why don't you explain to our listeners then the fact that DPI does allow people to teach who do not have certification just simply because there are so many shortages.
Yes.
And that's the group kind of that this is headed for.
That's correct. And this is a post-baccalaureate licensure program, so people with bachelor's degrees who are currently teaching on emergency licenses will be able to enter this program through an application process. But currently, all over the state of Wisconsin, there are many teachers who are teaching on emergency licenses. Particular shortage areas are bilingual education, English as a second language, special education, reading teacher, library media, I think secondary mathematics. These are areas where there is much more demand for teachers than there is supply.
So then if you are a young person then graduating from high school listening to this program, or your parent then those are the areas of extreme shortage then as far as teachers, and certainly assure people of getting a job then once they graduate.
Well, I wish I could guarantee people jobs.
Yeah, well, you can't do that.
No, of course not.
But the fact that they get through a program, and these are demanding programs these days.
They are, yes. Our program in particular with the clinical component is very rigorous, and students get a really high-quality education. We've had excellent reports from all of our program completers saying that the program prepared them very well to teach in their own classrooms.
Wonderful.
And our completers have had great success in the classroom.
Dr. Syker, do you want to add to this, too? Because I am sure that, because this is a special ed program, that you're very much involved in it.
I am. I'm helping write the program, and I'm also on the hook to teach at least some of the classes. But I'm very excited. Both programs were developed carefully and aligned to national standards. There's actually a nationwide shortage of special ed teachers,
yes,
and has been since they started collecting this data in the 90s. So it is, we can't guarantee a job, obviously,
no,
but there are many jobs. I decided to be a special ed teacher because I knew I would never, you know, have to worry about having a job, and that definitely played out for me. There were many opportunities.
Right. Okay. And a lot of times people want to enter something that they know that it has a better chance of getting a position. I mean, I was a social studies teacher, and boy, I'm telling you, therein lies a challenging area, and that sort of thing. So,
Can I also add, because Dr. Kramer reminded me about the 2-for-1 option here,
yes,
that the special ed program at UW Parkside is so unified with the rest of the regular education programs that you could theoretically receive your certification in elementary education and only have to take 16 additional credits to also qualify for a special education license.
Oh, really?
And you also only have to take one EdTPA, which is the final exam leading to licensure.
Okay. And define EdTPA for our listeners, too, because that's part of our jargon.
So EdTPA is formerly short for Teacher Performance Assessment, but now it just goes by EdTPA. It was implemented originally by Stanford University, and now it's spread across the country, I believe, in 38 different states. It is the final exam that's required to obtain licensure. And in Wisconsin, what that means is that teachers complete a portfolio based on, there's 15 different rubrics, and they have to videotape themselves teaching a lesson, and then they reflect in depth on their teaching, their practice, their lesson planning, their assessment, on different components of how they work with differentiated learners and within the classroom structure. And that gets sent out. There are scores all around the country from who are faculty members from other universities, current teachers, and then the students receive their scores. So we at UW Parkside have an average EdTPA pass rate of over 46 points, and the passing cutoff score is 38.
Oh my, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so our completers are very well prepared to pass the EdTPA as well.
Right, we should give a shout out to our colleague, Dr. Annie Grugel, who is in charge of this, and she does a fantastic job. So Annie, if you're listening, you're very appreciated. And anybody can get in touch with her also if they have further questions about the EdTPA.
Yes,
and
she's
this is all part of the idea of raising the standards as far as teacher quality is concerned. Mm-hmm. And I look back at my preparation way back in the nether period and so forth and think, my goodness, this is much more challenging and assures our society then of qualified teachers or highly qualified teachers.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely the case. And there is a very delicate balance that the state is working towards to make sure that teachers are highly qualified and to also make sure that they get a good amount of teachers in. If the standards are much too rigorous, then people aren't going to want to become teachers, but
right,
we don't want them to be too low because that is not good for the students. So we're striking this balance between highly qualified teachers and opening doors to people who might not otherwise have considered teaching as a profession.
Excellent. Okay, so when is this program then with Racine Unified available?
We are not quite sure yet. We are aiming for a fall start date, but that all depends on our submission to the Department of Public Instruction, which we're hopefully going to be doing within 2 weeks. So if all goes well, then hopefully we would be beginning in the fall.
Okay, and this was one of the things that you mentioned to me the other day, that DPI is encouraging this sort of relationship between universities and public school districts, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, DPI is very supportive of collaborations between school districts and universities. In fact, it's even written into PI 34, which is the State Administrative Rule for Teacher Licensing. that faculty members at universities need to be involved with pre-K through 12 schools, and that educator preparation programs work closely with schools and with the community.
Excellent. Okay. So, and we're talking about the Department of Public Instruction, and a lot of people then maybe who are not in the education world and so forth don't know that much about the Department of Public Instruction, but they are responsible then for the quality then of public schools and then or of schools in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the quality of teachers who teach in those schools.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So, and Wisconsin has had, I think, fairly high standards then in terms of that.
They definitely do. Wisconsin has very high standards for teachers.
So before we move on, it strikes me as a retired education professor that these young professors bring an outstanding background of public school and education experience to the task of preparing future teachers for our schools in Southeast Wisconsin. And so I say welcome to you and good luck to you in terms of everything that you do, because this is really important. In fact, I have a wonderful quote here from a fellow that I hope is going to be my next guest, and his name is Jack Schneider, and he has written a book called Beyond Test Scores. I'll give you a little promo, Jack, here. But he said this in his book that I was reading, or I'm reading now in preparation for that program. He said, schools are places where we make the future for our own children as well as for our society. And I thought, boy, that really says it. We make the future, and we need educated citizenry. And in fact, we need educated citizenry even more today. So let's move on. So what are the more traditional areas of certification that are also available at UW-Parkside?
Okay, I hope I can get this all right. So at UW-Parkside, we have an elementary education major, which is grades 1 through 8. We have 9 different secondary education content majors, which is a double major in a content area and in secondary education. Then we have the special education major, which leads to a degree in special education.
And that's what you are responsible for, Professor Syker.
That's right.
Yep. Then we have the English as a second language minor. We also have early childhood education, which is a major with a 2+2 agreement with the Wisconsin Technical College system. So students complete an associate's degree at Gateway Technical College or at any Wisconsin Technical College system school, and then they're able to come to Parkside to complete their bachelor's degree in early childhood education. And we also have music education, which is birth through age 21.
Do you have art education or not?
Our art is available as a minor for our elementary education majors, but we don't have it specifically as a major.
There is no art certification.
No,
okay.
Not at Parkside.
There was back when I was on the faculty here. Okay, so that's one of the areas then that may be a consideration and then maybe not. Okay, so those are the traditional areas of certification. Anyone want to add anything to that?
Did I get it right?
Of course, and the bilingual, too.
Yes, and bilingual right. certification.
There you go. Okay. So
also, I wanted to add, all of our programs are approved through the UW system and also through the Department of Public Instruction.
Okay. So
carefully designed.
That's very important, because if the UW, first of all, has to approve them and then get them approved by the Department of Public Instruction. And the Department of Public Instruction, to our listeners, then, has rules then that must be followed in terms of preparing these programs. And they're very, DPI is very careful of looking at what you're proposing in order to make sure that it meets their requirements. Oh, that's great. Okay. So if someone listening would like more information, who would they call and with whom would they make an appointment?
So if anyone would like more information, they can call our program associate, Mary Henderson. The number is 262-595-2180. Mary is an excellent representative of our department, and she's able to point people to where they need to go. Most likely, she would direct them to our program advisor, who's Mary Jo Dovin, and they would make an appointment with Mary Jo, and then she'd be able to answer their questions regarding admission to the university, whether as a traditional student or as post-baccalaureate students, because we do offer post-baccalaureate licensure for people who may have obtained a license in a content area, but now they've realized they actually want to be a teacher.
Okay, so these are people then who have had maybe a previous kind of occupation and have decided that they want to move into teaching.
That's correct. We have many students who are veterans. We have many students who are parents who stayed home with their children and are now returning to the workforce and would like to become teachers. And we have students who obtained bachelor's degrees at different institutions in content areas and decided that I don't want to be a chemist. I want to teach chemistry.
Mm-hmm. And we're very lucky because Mary Jo also has expertise in working with veterans.
Okay, that's really excellent, too, because they have some advantages, too, in terms of support that they can use in terms of completing additional work. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really great. At this time, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Wayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today's program focuses on new teacher education programs at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. My guests are Professor Jody Syker, Special Education Programs, Professor Greg Kramer, ESL and Bilingual Programs, and Professor Dana Ryan, Director of Professional Development, and she's describing collaborations with Racine Unified and Kenosha Unified School Districts. I don't think we got to talk about that Kenosha Unified program that you were telling me about.
I don't think we did. I'd love to talk about it.
Yes, please.
So we received a grant from the Mary Frost Ashley Trust, which is distributed by the wonderful Callahan family in Kenosha. And through that, we've been able to work with Kenosha Unified School District to create a literacy professional development series. And we're going to be holding the first ever Kenosha Literacy Institute in June. And it will be held at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And that's for educators who have been working with KUSD Literacy Coordinator Sue Mursky on a K-5 writing professional development project.
So this is pitched at elementary teachers, is that right?
Correct, yes. And Sue has been working with these teachers over the duration of the school year, and the Literacy Institute will be the culmination of this work that they've been doing throughout the year.
Okay, and is that going to start for sure? Is that guaranteed? Or do we know that or
not? That will be in June, yep. I believe the dates are the 18th through the 21st of June.
Okay, and so Kenosha Unified is publicizing that for their K-5 teachers then?
That is available to the teachers who have been working specifically with this professional development sequence this school year.
Ah.
But hopefully we'll be holding more institutes in the future that will be open to K-5 teachers in Kenosha as well.
Okay.
In addition to that, this is what I'm very excited about, the grant is also providing funds for a new professional development collection at the UW-Parkside Library, and that is open to all in southeastern Wisconsin to come and check out materials. And some of my work recently has been with Building Our Future through the United Way of Kenosha County and with their group called Smart Beginnings, which focuses on getting children ready for kindergarten. They are working with an assessment called, it's not an assessment, but it's called the Ages and Stages Questionnaire. So it's like a developmental checkpoint for children from birth through age 5 to help check their developmental milestones. And as part of that work together, our new professional development collection in the library will have materials that can be checked out by teachers or community members or parents or childcare workers that will have activities focusing on the 5 developmental domains of the ASQ. So fine motor skills, gross motor skills, personal social skills. We'll have balls, we'll have tunnels, we'll have pipe cleaners, we'll have all sorts of materials in kits that can be checked out by caregivers to help children develop these skills.
Is this for K-5 schools or is this for preschools?
This is in the Parkside Library, so it'll be focusing on early childhood education for professional development, and then hopefully in the future years we'll be able to grow our professional development collection to really focus on K-5 and beyond.
Okay, that's really great. That's really expanding then what the library at Parkside has to offer then for our communities here.
Oh, definitely. And Dr. Annie Grugel, our colleague, in recent years has helped develop the Gtormson Family Literacy Lab, also at the Parkside Library, which provides children's books and materials and a beautiful area for children and families to visit our library and access some really diverse and interesting children's literature.
Okay, so and then I want to get back to this communication business. I asked about who they could call, and what is the website that would be useful for people refer to in order to get information, maybe before they even make a call?
If anyone wants information on our programs, they can go to our university website, which is uwp.edu. And if they go to major programs, they'll be able to see different types of education. English as a second language would be under minors. And we actually just got a couple of new URLs for our special education and ESL and bilingual programs. So for special education, that would be uwp.edu/SPED teacher. SPED teacher. For ESL, it would be uwp.edu/ESL teacher. And for bilingual, it would be uwp.edu/bilingual teacher.
Okay, so there you have the information, or at least sources of information, then that you can use then to get background before you make that telephone call. So let's talk somewhat extensively about how can today's high school students best prepare themselves if they are thinking about teacher certification. And Greg, we kind of hit at that earlier on with your program, ESL and so forth. Tell our listeners again about how students can prepare themselves, high school students can prepare themselves for being a teacher in your area.
Well, as usual, when I talk to high school students, I always say, excuse me, take the most rigorous classes possible, take the most difficult classes possible, so you prepare yourself for that college level classes. And I was working with some students in at an event called Descubre at Parkside just this past month, and we reached out to the Latino community. We had Latino families come to us, and so that was part of our presentation, is that, you know, Even if students are not directed into these rigorous classes by their guidance counselors, they should advocate for themselves, and they should take the hardest classes to get ready for college. So that's one thing in terms of preparation. Beyond that,
a lot of schools in Racine and Kenosha have a program called Educators Rising, which is the former Future Educators of America. Mm-hmm. And Educators Rising provides resources and also conferences for students interested in becoming teachers. But mostly, I would say encourage them to volunteer. If you're interested in becoming a teacher, go and volunteer in a classroom. See what it's actually like. Go back to elementary school. We get a lot of students who come into our EDU 100 class where they're doing their first 20 hours of clinical experience, and they haven't been to an elementary school since they were in elementary school. So we always encourage students to go out and make a difference in their community and see if working with children from anywhere from kindergarten to 12th grade is really what you want to do.
I had one of our former students then on as a guest maybe a couple, 3 years ago, and he's been teaching abroad. Now I think he's in Korea, and before that he was in Turkey, and he had taught in Racine Unified in early childhood for several years. And so I asked him, you know, how did you get into this? He said, I worked in a daycare. And I learned that I like children, and so then I decided to get myself certified in early childhood. And there aren't many men in early childhood. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece of advice. Go where there aren't many of people like you, mm-hmm. you know, and that sort of thing.
And part of the job as well, especially in special education, and I'm sure across all the programs, is to be a leader and advocate on behalf of children. So if you care, be the change you want to see, I would recommend maybe becoming a teacher.
Exactly. And get yourself experiences then working with children to see if you like working with children. I took a couple deaf ed courses when I was in college, and I decided I didn't have the patience to be a deaf ed teacher. And so then I didn't. But I have a daughter who's into that, so maybe it has come back to fruition here in that particular way.
Well, one of the things that I always tell our students when they're coming into the program is if you want to become a teacher because you like kids, think again, because there are many professions that you could have where you're working with children. You could be a pediatrician because you like working with children. But as Dr. Syker said, you really have to want to make a change. Make a change not only in the education system and the way that children are treated and taught, but you have to be invested, as you said before, Dwayne, in encouraging children to become informed global citizens.
Exactly. Okay. So now, at this point, let's talk briefly about the role of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction at UW-Parkside and their ability to offer these programs. So how does DPI fit into all of this? Let's be a little more specific about their demands.
Well, written into PI 34, which is Administrative Law for Educator Development Programs, are a series of standards that we must meet. So, for example, to develop an ESL program, I had to link up to all the TESOL, which is the sort of National Association for English as a Second Language. They have a series of teacher-educator standards.
Uh-huh.
So I had to address PI 34 basically by using the teacher educator standards of TESOL.
Okay.
So I had to, address all of those components and then submit that to DPI. And then, you get feedback or you maybe have to amend the document somewhat. So that's the process in a nutshell. I had to do the same thing for bilingual education. I imagine Jody had to do the same thing for special ed, correct?
I did, except I used Council for Exceptional Children standards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And align them to the Wisconsin teaching standards.
Okay, so the programs and program requirements here in the state of Wisconsin refer to requirements that have been established nationally then requirements then that you need for teachers in your particular areas.
Mm-hmm. And then everything's aligned to the assessment as well as to the EdTPA so that teachers in our programs are well prepared when they comes time to take it.
Wonderful. Okay, now we're getting close to our time here. So any closing thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners today? Each of you get a chance.
One of the biggest advantages of coming to Parkside is not only do you begin your clinical experience right away from the very first time you think, I'd like to become a teacher, you take EDU 100 and you go into the classroom for 20 clinical hours. And all of our mentor teachers are exceptional individuals. Our students work closely with supervisors, with our program advisor. We have very small class sizes, which is a huge advantage. And also, we have the ability to stack licenses, as Dr. Kramer was discussing before, okay, which is a huge advantage.
Well, it's kind of exciting to be, creating these programs, ESL and bilingual, from the ground floor. So it's very exciting to be able to reach out to the local community and invite teachers in to become some of the first bilingually certified and ESL teachers in the area and to fulfill that really important need.
Okay. To our radio audience, this is your host, Wayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today for this edition of Education Matters, in which I interviewed three faculty members from the Institute for Professional Educator Development at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. They were Professor Jody Syker, Special Education Programs, Professor Greg Kramer, ESL and Bilingual Programs, and Professor Dana Ryan, Director of Professional Development, describing collaborations with Racine Unified and Kenosha Unified School Districts. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for the next edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Parkside hosts a free community discussion with Katherine Kramer, author of The Politics of Resentment, to foster communication between people of varying backgrounds and experiences on April 11th at 5:30 p.m. To register, visit uwp.edu/buildingbridges.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Sitka Salmon Shares, Alaskan seafood year-round from independent fishermen in Sitka, Alaska. For more, stop by their booth this weekend. The market is open at the Rody Saturdays from 10 until 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, that's what keeps you coming back. Visit jackandrea.com for more information.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant. WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
And good morning. This is Jim McClure, your host today for Community Matters. We're going to be speaking about an important issue for all of us. Other ways that you can make children safe, and also pedestrians, bicyclists. The topic is going to be pathways, and there is a somewhat controversial development in Walworth County where people have felt, from politicians to parents, that there is a need to have on one of the major pathways through Walworth County, adjoining the Williams